Today is Wednesday, December 6, 2023. It's time for Art of Departure 6. Here we go.
Well, hello, Len.
Hello, Daniel.
Oh, is it just you and me?
Well, so far. Yeah, there's two other people who've registered, and Bobby said that she would try to come on for some of it. So we'll see who shows up when.
Hey, what was the topic for today?
It's open today on the January 7th for Art of Departure 7. We're going to have two women who are in Death Doula Network International. And they do a lot of work with the medical assistance in dying thing. That's a big deal in Canada anyway. I don't know if that's in the States. It's called MAID, the MAID service, to take you out. I think of it as cesarean section, but on the other end, you know, it's like when you arrange the date and the time. Because
which is, you know, a big thing now for births, which I think is just interfering. I think it's interfering, but we interfere in life all the time. I'm going to light a candle.
Oh, thanks. I just lit some too.
I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about they're choosing the date of when their baby's born.
The art of departure could also be the art of entering, because you hear a lot about people talking about what their birth process was like, and a cesarean is not a natural birth. It's a scheduled birth, and so people born by cesarean might find that they're resistant to being told what to do when.
Cesareans used to be only if it was an emergency, if the woman couldn't give birth naturally. You know, then they started doing this thing in the last 20 years where, okay, now if you had a cesarean, you had to get one for every birth afterwards, right? That was, I think, the rule for whatever reason. Then they started saying, oh, this day works. If we're going to do a cesarean, well, when do you want to do it? And I'm like, okay, because this is when it's convenient. That's when I felt, okay, we're like not letting nature take its course.
Yeah, you're looking for the convenience of the mother or the parents, not the child. Like, are you asking the child? Like, are you intuiting? Okay. Like, would this day work for you, dear? You know?
Or I want a Leo baby instead of a Virgo. So therefore, I'm going to do it on August before it changes.
Whoa, there's that too.
Yeah. There's all kinds of,
you know, with suicide or this MAID service, you choose your date, right? And I think the MAID is sort of like sanctioned euthanasia, right? It's like, I'm agreeing that I'm ready to go. And they're opening up that's why it's going to be interesting to talk to Joanne and Karen on January 7th, because there's an intro about what they do on the podcast. The On Purpose podcast.podbean.com. March 17th, 2024, which is the day I was due to be born, apparently, goes the story, on St. Patrick's Day, which, you know, thrilled my Irish patriarch ancestry. Yeah, so that's the day that there's supposed to be this added qualification for MAID, which is mental disorder, not mental illness, but mental disorder. But you have to apply. It's not like you can just ring it up and say, you know, today's the day, you know, when can somebody come over and give me a shot and I'm out of here? You know, like, you can't just do that. You have to go through a process. One question I have for them, which I didn't ask, is do you have to be of sound mind to apply for it?
Who determines the sound mind?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I think ending your life's very different. And I've changed my views about that a lot. It's your life. Do what you want with it. Now, the teen stuff is different. But I'm like, if someone's 70 or even 55 and they have stage 4 cancer and they're in pain and their quality of life is just laying in bed and taking drugs just to try to alleviate the pain, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Take yourself out.
For this MAID service, that's where it started, I think, when there's no hope of recovery, it's a chronic illness, you have a limited time left, and you just want to be out of pain and save your family some heartache, I suppose, right?
Or you're quadriplegic, in a wheelchair the rest of your life, Why can't it be your choice?
Yeah, but
Yeah.
who's to say that that's not a quality of life?
The person who's in it.
Well, yeah, but what if that person want is okay continuing on?
Yeah, of course. If you want to go on, go on. But if you want to go, I mean, we shouldn't have a judgment. For instance, my friend who just died,
Right.
Jose, he had a stroke, paralyzed on the right side of his body. And he's a proud man. And he's having to have someone wipe his ass and, or take him to the toilet. And he's conscious and the whole right side from his neck down is, I'm like, and we were all rooting for him. He had the stroke May 3rd. And he had said, I really am questioning whether I don't want to be a burden on my wife or my two sons.
Right.
And living in that body, and he'd been sick for 2 years. He'd had two cases of COVID, and then it gave him colitis. He was in the hospital for a week with the colitis and always battling that and then not being able to travel because you have to be near a toilet. And then he hung in there and did the therapy. He got his arm back and then he started to walk with a walker. But
Right.
it had been months and May, June, and July. And I see that. Who am I to tell him to stay? But he did die. He had another stroke. I don't know. Who are we to say? And as
Well,
if we know the whole picture.
I know, and that was one of my questions too, was similar again to the cesarean as a way to come in. What is the effect of disrupting the natural flow of that baby's appearance? And then on the other end of it, when you think of the arc of your life and the challenges you face and how you want to overcome them or live through them or grow because of them, are you preempting that by not encouraging someone to stay, hang in there, like, not that it's not that bad, but maybe there's more purpose that you haven't found yet. Like, you're here, like, before you leave, you're gonna leave sometime, especially if it's a mental thing. I mean, maybe it's really bad and that's just not possible, but you just think of yourself, you just think of being depressed at some point and you think, oh, I don't know if I want to go on with this anymore. Maybe there's something that if you had just taken the road around the next corner, you'd just go, oh, thank God I'm still here. I mean, I remember being a teenager and, I was talking to somebody about this the other day that I didn't have specific plans, but it just felt like every day was the same. I didn't see the point. I didn't, I listened to the Who singing, Hope I Die Before I Get Old, and Over 30 was old, and I just didn't see much point. And so I just assumed I was going to die soon. And I'm so glad I'm still here. I'm in my mid 60s, and so much has happened. And a lot of it I wouldn't want to repeat, but I feel rich because of the path. And I, it's not like every day is the best, although I like to think it is because it's the only one I have, but I'm grateful every day. And I'm really glad to still be here. And I'm curious about what else wants to happen in my life. And I'm curious when I'm actually going to go out. But I want it to be as natural as possible. I don't want to manufacture my timing to leave. We're passing our death date, whatever that is. We're passing it every year without knowing what's going to be on my bench, on my death plaque, on my bench. What's that date going to be? That's the only thing I can't prepare,
How do you feel about that?
Which part?
That part about the date on the bench and not knowing.
Oh, it really bugs me because I want to complete it.
Yeah,
I want
I
to write
do.
the words with the date because I want the day of the week and the month and the date and the year. I can draft up the rest of the words and have and proofread it myself and everything, but it's the date I can't fill in. So it feels like an incompletion while I'm alive.
I've been going back and forth now again about, it's like I've always felt how I don't give a shit what happens to my stuff. I'm dead. I've used my things and I enjoy it. And they're for me. If I have it, I like it. Because if I don't like it, it's gone. And then I thought, well, what if my niece reads all my journals? I'm like, so what? You're dead. That shame, that's shame speaking. What if she read, what will she think of this or what will they think of that? I'm like, So what? They'll think what they think. They already think what they think.
That's true.
Right? They already are doing that. Then I'm like thinking, oh, there's a search warrant, and they come through my house because I watch all these TV shows, search warrants, and like, yeah, they all want to read my journals. But it's kind of funny, that self-importance that we assign ourselves. It's in there. I did it. I wrote it. It's all about control.
Yeah.
We just want to control everything. And that's the number one thing you can't control, death. You can't control it. You don't know when. You don't know how. If you have stage four cancer, chances are you know how, but you don't know exactly when, what day the mystery comes to claim you. Because of hospice, we've talked about this so much more. And we, like Stephen Jenkinson says, we're a death phobic society and we've become friendlier. But like with your group, this art of departure, I'm like, let's just talk about dying. Let's talk about how we feel about it today. Do we feel about it different? Because we know we're going to die. We know that. Like, I can even have the words written. I just can't do the date. And everything we tell ourselves about the dying, we make it all up. And I read something this morning. We make meaning. Us. We make meaning. We find meaning. Maybe meaningful to you is not meaningful to me. Because meaning is personal, right? Although churches want to tell you, this is what that means. God means this. Jesus means this. And this heaven means this. And hell means this. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. For those who say, yeah, whatever, enough self-esteem to say, you don't get to tell me about that, or I don't have to accept your view. Because everything about God, we made up anyway. Right?
Yeah, the meaning piece is really important. Thanks for mentioning that, because what I find meaningful, you might not find meaningful. Part of the meaning for me is I want someone else to find it as meaningful, but I have to accept that most of the things that I find meaningful are just meaningful to me.
Meaning. This morning, I'm crying again for Jose.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back, and I've been really trying to save. I started to print, but this is not a good way to have it. All our text messages. But it was so far back that the messages kept crashing because I kept having to load and load and load, and then it quit. But I'm reading it, and of course, you read it all differently now.
Yeah.
And you read every single word. Whereas when you're texting, you're like, but today I'm like crying because I miss him and crying because I didn't know how much the relationship gave me until it's gone, until I can't text him again. I can't see him again. I can't talk on the phone. Then you're like, oh my God, never again. So I did a beautiful thing, throwing flowers in the ocean in Hawaii, my last day on his birthday.
Oh, nice.
But meaning, again, this is back to meaning, what it means, the relationships. You think that you have that you like your grandfather or your parents or your siblings, it changes meaning over time, right? It's only now that I started writing my story that I see my grandfather differently. What a stoic man. I always used to think he was emotionally absent and he's so unemotional. And then I have this grandmother who's a firecracker, his wife, and then it was him. But and only in contrast does he seem that way. And now I see it's completely differently when I realize more of what he had to put up with in that relationship. We never know.
Do you do any family tree stuff?
I started. I started because not so much the tree. I really wanted to know because my grandmother hopped the fence. So my mother never knew who her biological father was.
Oh, hop the fence.
But after her dad died, my grandfather, she said to me, "Danny boy, I want to know if Papa's my father." And it was 2003. I don't think DNA was so easy to do. You spit in a vial and it's all done. That was 20 years ago. I don't think it was as easy as it is today. And I thought we needed my grandfather's DNA. And I said, "Mom, why did you wait till he died?" Because I thought we'd have to get his DNA. I didn't know how it was done. And she asked me to help. And I said, "What are we going to do with the information?" Because if my mother wanted to do something at that point, that means Danny boy had to do it. Because I had to do everything for her, right? Even though she was young, she was in her late 50s. Bobby.
Bobby, I just thought of you, Bobby.
There she is.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, look at your Monstera.
It's my daughter's. I'm in my daughter's bedroom right now, her UVic bedroom. And
That's great.
isn't it? She's really good with plants.
I mean, it has such character. It's very alive.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will tell her you said so because she takes good pride in her plants. Daniel was just telling me about, want to just finish that thought.
My grandmother had an affair, so my mother's biological father is not my grandfather. Now, and
Oh.
I'm very close to my grandparents because they raised my sister and I. My mother was 18 when she had me, and she had no skills or anything. She suspected that, but she never said anything to me. And so she didn't look very Asian. But you know, there's a lot of people who are half Asian that just look white. So as it,
Yeah.
especially in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
It was not unusual. And when you're raised in that family, that's your grandfather. You don't say, "Oh, how come I don't resemble them?" Unless, you know, it's obvious. And it wasn't so obvious, or so I thought. So anyway, as she said to me after he died in 2003, she wanted to know. And I didn't know how it was done. It wasn't so easy in 2003. You didn't go to ancestry.com, 23andMe, and get your kid,
Yeah, I
right?
heard about 23andMe.
So when she died, my mom died in, and I talked to my therapist about it, and she said, "You know, Daniel, that wasn't your decision to make. Your mother came to you asking for help to do it." And I said, "Well, what would we do with the information?" And she goes, "Completion. Maybe your mother wanted completion." And then, of course, I felt so guilty. And then I felt horrible. I'm like, what a horrible son. And so I took the test in 2018 for her. Yeah, for her. Because I felt that guilt of not helping her.
Yeah.
And so I said, "Okay." And of course, so I tell my sister, and she goes, "Oh my God." She starts crying. "Don't do it. Don't, how, you know, people want to be in denial,
Yeah.
right?" And I said, "Dee Dee, I'm gonna do it. Ma wanted me to know for her. So I want to complete this. So I don't, you know, leave it unfinished." And of course, so we find out that the man was an Italian man and in New York and from New York. And I contacted them through ancestry.com. And he said, "Oh, do you mind sending pictures?" So this would be her brother. He was 9 years younger. This man, he was in this military. They came to Hawaii. There was World War II. My grandmother was, I heard they would go dance with the servicemen.
Yes, it
And so one of my cousins, the generation of my mom's first cousin, she goes, "The worst thing that happened in Hawaii was the military came in, because all the people who live there's all these men, right?"
Yeah.
The guy said, "Send pictures." I said, "Okay." And I sent pictures and I never heard from him again.
Oh,
Weird.
that is
And
weird.
so, you know, I thought about this and I thought, what, you know, you're intruding. Maybe they don't want to know this genealogy stuff. opened up a can of worms. I mean, a lot of people.
Oh yeah, it has big time.
Certainly has me thinking, though, And then I think of a birth certificate. We consider that an official document, right? Like your passport's an official document, and your birth certificate, your social security number. And then you look at this and you go, all these quote official documents, how many of them are untrue? They're not accurate.
No, because they're made up by human beings.
Yes. But I mean, your birth date, okay, that's the day you were born. But wait a minute, get this. In my grandmother's time in Hawaii, I don't know what you call him, he would go around and say, okay, who had your kids and when? And they go, oh, let me think. I think it was this day. I think it was that day. How are they going to do their astrological charts? Right? They don't have accurate times. I think you were
No.
born in the morning. No, you were born at night. Now I can't remember because they were having so many kids.
Yeah, I have three, and I think I can get it right when I tell you what time I gave birth to all three of them. You'd think I'd remember that. I was in a bit of a state of shock. Yeah.
But maybe the first, but by the third, you were still.
No, by the third, I said, just sew that damn thing up. I don't want anything else coming out or going in. That's what I said. My ex-husband was very disappointed. Bobby, maybe we were talking earlier about maid service and about arranging for the day of your death is sort of like arranging for a cesarean section. And so Daniel was saying that, and I think I've heard this too, that if you have one cesarean, then you always have a cesarean, then you never have a natural birth. Is that true, Dina? I would assume, actually, because most of the people I know who have cesareans, they have them for medical reasons, and then the doctors just follow along with that. Yeah,
Right.
I was considered a dangerous pregnancy, so I would get obstetricians, and there'd be a whole team with me.
So you had
My
cesarean
first.
sections?
No, I gave birth to all of mine naturally
Oh, that's right,
without
because you pulled
drugs.
that damn thing up.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't on purpose. It just kind of happened that way. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, because of my body shape. Some of us are supposed to shove people out. Some of us are supposed to die while doing it. And I was one of those
Right.
ones. So, glad I was born when I was. Maid, I have an interesting maid story. Well, I guess it's an interesting maid story, but I can share it with the two of you because I feel like I can share everything with the two of you. I was supposed to help someone, maid. I was supposed to help two people, actually, a
Tell me
husband and
what
wife that
MAID
wanted to go
stands
together.
for. What does it stand?
Oh gosh. Medical assistance in dying. Oh, that's it, just in dying. I guess they can't call it mad, can they? I was just thinking that too, It should call it MAT,
yeah.
medical assistance in transforming or transcendence or yeah, transition. That's all it is. The transition.
Right.
Yeah. And your mom's on the other side, isn't she, Daniel? She got to meet everybody anyways.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm like, I don't know,
I want to hear what you want to share about the your maid assistance.
Yeah.
But before that, I wanted to finish up with Daniel's tour there with his mom and all of that. Very interesting background. So when there are sort of those incompletions or, like when a baby's been adopted out, like has been in our family and we don't know where they are. I mean, they disappeared. When the parents then die, they get more insight, they get more info, right, about what happened. Would you say that's true? To me or to Daniel? Well, I would say that to you, Bob. Daniel. Oh, to
Yeah.
me. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And because people don't realize how much family means, how much DNA means. DNA on the other side is a huge thing. It's funny,
Really?
actually. Yeah. I was talking to someone about your theory, Daniel, about your movement theory, about that. And I explained it to someone who was a nurse, and she said, well, that's the DNA ribbon. And I said, oh my God, you're right, it is. Because when I see the other side, it looks like the DNA helix. It looks like ball, rod, ball, rod, ball, rod. And the ball is a family. The rod is a marriage that can, but adoption is the same sort of thing. They always show me that. So someone in your family was adopted out and a child was given up and you guys don't know where she is left? Yeah, it was a boy. Wow. Okie dokie.
Your sibling was adopted
My,
out.
no, it would be my cousin. Interesting. I've never met anyone who knows that a child has been adopted out and doesn't know where that child has gone. Well,
Isn't that
you
funny?
might
That met a
have
lot of people.
to.
I
Michael's three sisters.
was three
Michael's three
sisters.
in a row. And one sister just died. I don't know, was it last year? She was 80. But the three girls got pregnant. They disappeared. I don't know if the mother sent them off. They went and they had their babies, gave them up for adoption, and went back. And later on, they didn't know where their kids were, but the kids found them.
Yeah.
Two of them
Wow.
met their child, and one of them said no, because
Really?
her life was, she didn't want her life disrupted. And she had three kids with a man, and he wasn't even their biological father. And she just didn't want that disruption.
Wow, she must have had a lot of shame attached to it.
Yeah.
That's too
I mean,
bad.
there, your other two sisters did it. You know, it's not like you're alone, but that doesn't
Yeah.
mean there's not this shame. But there is, if you think your life is a certain way,
Yes.
if you maintain an idea of what your life is like, and then this comes in, that can upset the whole thing.
Yeah, because it can be a house of cards as an idea. Yeah, especially
Right.
perfect lives.
Yeah, yes. And she likes to create it. I've sat down with her at my dinner table. Only once I've sat down with her. It was quite a show. entertaining. But so Yavi, you know, and I'm dealing with a friend, my best friend. We were on the phone for an hour yesterday. She adopted. She's my age. She's 61 and she has a 7-year-old and the girl's 14. And I'm like, oh my God. I can't imagine a 7-year-old running around my house. You know?
And they'd be all over your pens trying to write with
No, I'm
things.
like, don't touch my stuff. I'm interested about your DNA story later about on the other side. Oh, yeah. Well, when you mentioned that, Bobby, I'm thinking because somebody, this may be their first art of departure they're listening to. And I'm trying to remember too, just was it when Daniel was, you were asking about how it works with sort of clusters on the other side and how people sort of differentiate and also become one in spirit?
Well, yeah, and where it actually came from is Daniel started describing what he saw us as, describing it as a movement and a flow and something that's always turning and moving and all connected to each other. And that's exactly it. That's why the DNA is so incredibly important, because DNA, people that you are attached to through DNA, aren't usually people you would seek out in your life. There are people you know because you kind of have to know. And you're
Right.
stuck with them. And part of that is part of yours and their growth on the other side. And then the more you grow on this side and move forward, the more your ancestors and all those who have crossed before you will actually be able to move forward as well. And if we can all move forward in one big movement, then we actually bring up humanity.
I mean, I have so many thoughts about that because I would imagine DNA is just a human thing.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
So, you know, when you go to the other side, why is that important? And I've never heard it described as the DNA strands on the other side. So that's also fascinating to me.
Good, thank you.
So,
I used to see it as campsites, but now I get it as DNA.
campsite. We come for the human experience. That's number one, right? And because I'm asking myself, really, really, really. Asking myself, is what I believe true? What do I know, really know, as opposed to what do I believe?
Yeah, or what have I gathered through what I understand through my mind and what I've seen in evidence and what I can piece together with conjecture is pretty much all it
Did
is.
I put those things together myself, or are they linked? Probably
Both.
before you came. We were talking about we make meaning. We make up meaning. That's why something means something to you. It doesn't mean something to me,
Yep.
right? You can go to the movie. I could come out crying and you're thinking it was a waste of time. And I was just so moved beyond belief, right? Make meaning up. Like, what is that guy's book, Man's Search for Meaning, The Nazi Survivor? Viktor Frankl. Man's Search for Meaning. The Jews, how they had to find meaning in the
Yeah.
atrocity of their experience. So, but why was I talking about this?
Because we're talking about all connectiveness and how we
Oh,
can look at things and do they
questioning
mean
everything
something?
I believed.
So I used to say, what is something that you absolutely run your life by? What you give out comes back. Okay. I go, is that true?
It's absolutely true. What
You
you
know,
think about comes back.
so of course, I come from the new age where that is a staple, right? Which is just a foundation. And then I'm reading a book of someone I really respect his work, a psychologist, and he says that's magical thinking. We don't know that because we know things. I don't know. I know that bad things happen for no good reason. That is one belief I have. That's a belief, and I have tons of evidence, right? But is it true that racism, sexism, homophobia, I didn't put that out for that their racism to come back on me? You know, it's that's not a, and like Alan Clements, Miss Thompson, Alan Clements, she just interviewed him. He would say, of course, these girls who are getting raped, the Gazan kids, all those kids that have been slaughtered in the last 2, 3 months, they didn't create their reality. And I don't believe we create reality. We create our experience of reality. But as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old or 3-year-old or anything, you don't have that capacity. And then we can run into our stuff like, well, it's karmic, or it's this, or it's past life, or it's this. I'm like, okay, those are all things we come up with to explain something we can't understand. So what you give out comes back. I think, yeah, okay, energetically, yeah. Our death. Do we, I was gonna say, do we decide that? And we're just talking about made. Yeah, we do decide that. Are you with me?
I'm totally with you. I am completely and
It's
absolutely
a
with you.
big.
Every day of my life, I actually have to make the choice that I'm not crazy. That I
Yeah.
am just got a hole in my head that they can talk through.
Yeah.
So every day of my life, I go through this back and
Yeah.
forth, back and forth. And I will tell you, I think it's because I have the hole in my head. They prove it to me, prove it to me, prove it to me constantly. Every thought I have creates the pattern in front of me, and everything is a pattern. And when horrific things like Gaza happen, it's not that those souls are paying a price of any kind. They're coming in to experience that moment so that when they come back, they won't allow that to happen again.
Well, see, that's, I mean, I'm like, okay, that's made up. We don't know. You think
No, we don't
that's,
know. Yeah, I believe
and
that.
so, yeah, that's a belief. I don't think my mother's back on the planet.
Oh,
You
not yet.
know,
No.
I certainly don't want to come back. I'm looking at that cosmic universe. I'm like, I want to go there and I want to know this. And I look out and I think, what do we not see? What's out there that we don't see? You know, I think that there's worlds, and this is just a veil. And you literally, because I've done a lot of drugs too, and there's like worlds upon worlds right here,
I know. Yep,
right?
that's why we can't find Loch Ness Monster or Sasquatch, in my opinion. You want to get totally cuckoo? Yeah. I
And it's
believe
just,
the other side is right here. And
yes.
that's why the dead can talk to me. But
Yeah.
yeah, right there, right
The
behind you,
veil, it's
they.
just veils. They're
Yeah,
like,
it is.
oh, I have goosebumps everywhere.
Tell you, with your inquisitive mind, I don't know that you won't keep on coming down here because we come down here to make this place a little
Oh.
bit better, to learn stuff, to keep on going. And you are looking under every stone everywhere all the time.
Every
So.
single thing. Yeah, I don't know. And I've had a good life. So when I say I'm not wanting to come back, it's not because I've had a bad life. I mean, a lot of bad things have happened to me, but that's part of my lesson. But I've had a really good life. Go ahead, Lynn.
Grandpa was
Oh,
born in 1882.
wow. Good golly. I can't trace hardly any of my ancestors in that way unless I through prison records. Yeah, no, it's true. With my family name, yeah. Alcoholism has been a big part of my family, of the Rountree family. Yeah, and that leads to incarceration.
You're sad, you know. I know that they do stuff because addiction, you shouldn't be in prison for addiction.
No, they were in prison for beating their wives after getting drunk. So,
Oh.
yeah, I come from a long line of awful men. Yeah.
Well,
Reaches all the way to my grandfather.
do you know that Daniel has worked in prisons a lot?
Yes, he's spoken about that, working and talking to inmates and things. Yes, I find Daniel incredibly interesting. Where do you live right now? Are you in Hawaii or are you
No,
in
I'm
like
in New
Chicago
Mexico.
area? New
New
Mexico.
Mexico.
Okie
I'm
dokie.
in
I don't know my geography.
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Oh
Oh
my
my
God, I should have
God.
taken a left turn at Albuquerque.
Where are you driving?
No, that's what Bugs Bunny always says.
Oh.
When he pops out, he goes, ah, should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque. That's what he says every
Oh.
time.
High desert. There's something about the altitude. Because right next door is Phoenix, and I hate Phoenix. But you know, it's like in this valley, not a valley, but a, what do you call it, basin. And so all the smog, and it's a much different energy. When I was working in Arizona, so I would fly back and forth, and I would land here, and I'm like, what is it? What is it? And it's the altitude. We're at 5,000 feet.
Interesting.
The altitude changes the energies. It's calmer, it seems.
Oh, that's very
Cleaner.
interesting.
Blue skies, and I'm in the desert, man, from the tropics to the desert. And you're where,
I'm
Bobby?
in Courtney. No,
Courtney.
actually, I'm in Victoria right now. I'm on Vancouver Island.
Okay.
Courtney is the almost top part. Well, I guess it's mid up. Port McNeil, Port Hardy, that's way top, but that's like very few people live up there. There are people who live up there, but very few of them. But right now I'm in Victoria, which you probably heard of Victoria, I would think maybe. The capital
Yeah.
of British Columbia. Yes.
Yes. Where's the place with the Bouchard Gardens? That's
Bouchard Gardens is in Victoria.
yes, been there.
Oh,
And
that's
of course,
cool.
I've been to
Okay.
Vancouver. Yeah.
Yes.
I
That
was
makes
like,
perfect sense.
wow, Vancouver's happening. What a city and beautiful.
Yeah, it's
The
quite
beauty.
beautiful. BC period is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Ontario.
Oh, well, you can come and visit anytime.
Well, I'm going to, my daughter's going to be moving there, so.
Oh really? Oh well,
Yeah.
that'll be, we'll have another in-person visit for the first time since the first time.
Yeah.
Tell me more about your experience, or you were going to help somebody in the process of MAID.
Oh, it was actually, my aunt was dying of breast cancer. And she and my uncle came to me because they had been partners for so long. He didn't want to live without her, and she knew she was going to pass. And they had enough, and they wanted me to help them both leave
Oh.
on Tuesday. But on Friday, she crossed over. Yeah, so he's been stuck here for, this was in May of 2022. He's been stuck here now for over a year. Just, yeah. Waiting, hoping, praying he'll die. And
Wow.
he hasn't yet. Yeah.
But okay, so she was the one though that had a condition. Would he have been able to go with her? Like, how was that going to work?
Yeah, that was the plan. I was actually going, supposed to really kill them both, to be crass and disgusting about
I
it. But they
love
knew I was the person who could do
love
it.
it. Yeah, Daniel's reacting here. Okay, so you were the one who could do it. Like, what do you mean by
Yeah,
that?
well, because when it comes to death, I have probably the healthiest perspective of what most people think, because I'm like, yeah, glory, go off, you know. I've had people ask me permission to commit suicide, and I have given it.
I think suicide's a, I've completely changed about it. Yeah, I gotta write this down.
Okay, well, you've given them permission, so they feel like they can go because they've told somebody they're going to do that ahead of time, and that you're giving them a blessing. Is that
Kind of, yeah. With a couple of people that I've talked to with this, the other people won't let them, and they can't, don't want to be here. They just don't want to be here, either because of chronic pain or because of mental illness. And when I talk to people who have committed suicide due to mental illness or something like that, they get a pass, because when you commit suicide, you go to a certain spot on the other side for a little while. You have to figure out why you did
why?
it.
Because you've seen that.
Yeah, everything I know is based on what I've seen during readings and what happens in my head. And I
Yeah.
can't just sit alone and know it, because then it becomes Bobby talk. Once I do readings, that's when I get to see. Like, Lynn, you allow me to see. Well, actually, your parents allow me to see so much, but you hanging out, you know, that helps. And you give me confirmations. Like I'll say, okay, I see this, this, and this. And then you, if you say yes, then I go, oh, thank God, I'm not insane.
Yeah.
Things
Hey,
are actually making sense.
thank you for all of that. And I'm just realizing that actually my grandfather, whose birthday it is today, happy birthday, Grandpa. It's
Birthday, Grandpa.
his grandson who was adopted out, who we don't know
Oh, that's
where
funny.
he is. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you he knows where he is. That would be my guess, but yeah, I'd be shocked if he didn't.
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah, I'd be like, why aren't you looking over for that boy? So yeah.
Well, he's had 51 years to find him since he died.
My God, so this kid is the same age as me.
Well, no, this kid would have been born in 1956, in May.
Oh gosh, no, not the same age as me. No.
You're 52. I know that.
Yes.
You're the same age as my sister will always be now.
You're 52 years old. You weren't born in 52.
No, I'm 52
I'm
years old.
like, God, you look fabulous in
A vampire if I was
1952.
born in 52.
Okay, well, hold on now. If your aunt and uncle had gone together, you would have been able to facilitate that, but now that he's still here by himself, you can't.
No, because to get the drug, I believe you have to have a terminal diagnosis. And he has COPD, but it just won't kill him. It's honestly like I keep telling him, obviously you're not done. You're supposed to learn something. Go read a book or something like that. Maybe there's a little bit of knowledge you're supposed to have before they make you shuffle off the buffalo.
Well, and this is what I was saying to Daniel earlier, is I feel like, they're going to be opening it up potentially, the new legislation with MAID, to include mental disorder, not mental illness apparently, but the word is disorder. I mean, it might be really bad, and somebody may qualify for that, but I just can't help but think that you've got, the arc of your life, and there may be something more for you to experience, and it may not be the best idea to carry on sooner and preempt that, possibility.
Yeah, you don't know why you're still here.
And it's funny because Bobby and I can go like this, choo,
Oh yeah, we are
and
terrible
you're
together.
here
Imagine
like
if we got
this.
lost in the woods. Oh
I
my
know. And
God.
then this is what I'm saying, part of your talents or skill is, and you can bring it down. You're a great moderator and say, can I go back to MAID? And this is, and tell me why this and that. You're excellent at that,
Oh,
really.
yeah. It's like she's at the edge of the woods watching us meander around within the trees,
Right.
going, okay, they'll figure it out in a
Yeah. Oh, you'll throw the ball there, and I'll go, okay, great. Then I'll throw it there. Where's home plate? I have no idea. I forgot that we were supposed to be in a parameters here. Suicide, I have completely changed. If you want to take yourself, go knock yourself out. Because I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's your life.
It's a great turn of phrase, knock yourself out thing to say to a
Yeah.
suicidal person.
Yeah. I would try if there was a teen in front of me, teenage, I would try to. And now, why would I try to stop it? I would do anything, even if for a 40-year-old. Is this really what you want to do? But you will talk differently to a 40-year-old than you will to a teen.
Absolutely, because you can
We all
tell a
know what
teen
it's
it's going
like
to
to.
get better.
Yeah. Because I wonder, okay, why is there so much teen suicide now? Why is my question? My question is, okay, what's going on a bigger scale here? What's the bigger picture that this is happening? So, what's happening in society that it causes this kind of response? What I really changed was when Anthony Bourdain committed suicide. There was something in me. I'm always for the outcast or for the underdog or for the not popular cause. And everybody was so like this. I'm like, and I thought to myself, if there's any person on this planet who had access to help, it's him. And when I say help, I don't mean money. He knew shamans in South America, witch doctors, voodoo in Caribbean, the healers of India or Persia or anywhere in Africa. That man was all over this planet and had lived an exposure to everything. And he chose to end it. And there was some deep respect in me for that. And I was talking to my doctor in Hawaii. He was having a check. Oh, that was terrible. Da, 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 da. And everybody gets, here's the suicide line. And this, I'm like, death is not the end. So what's the big problem? And you want to know something why I believe in like maid service and all that, whereas I didn't before, is because we interfered with life long ago. We keep people alive.
Well past their time.
Right. We interfered. We interrupted the natural cycle with surgery and this bringing their heart back or giving them the shot of adrenaline and all that stuff. We interfered. So if we keep them alive, why, if you can't say it's wrong to take them out.
Yeah. I
You
agree.
know?
I actually never think about it that way. Actually, we keep people alive way past. Yeah, if my mom hadn't been charitable enough to unplug my father, he would
Yeah.
still be a body in a bed
That's
right
not
now.
natural.
No.
I mean, it's a miracle when you think about it. People don't die of heart attacks like they used to. They have rehabilitation and stuff, but that was an interference. That's artificial. So why can't you give someone a shot? Was it your aunt and uncle you said? What's
Yes.
the, yeah. If he really, he'll probably go soon. Evidence shows men die soon after. Some men go on to live fruitful lives, but women, on the other hand, have entire lives after.
Oh, and it's different on the other side too. Men who die before their wives are constantly saying to me, "When's my wife gonna die? When is she gonna come here? I can't wait to have my wife dead." Wives are like, "Keep him alive. I'm having a breather. I'm just worried about my kids. That's it. They don't, they're not like, kill him, bring him to me. They're like, keep him there. I'm good."
Yeah.
Always the same way. Very strange. You think the men are more dependent on women or?
Men have less emotional resources because to survive, now men are changing. The young men today are going to be
They're
different.
evolving. Yep.
But I worked in domestic violence and I couldn't understand these men who were, that is not just their wife. They're not married to her just because we are a romantic partner, we fell in love. She, of course, becomes property, but that's old and ancient. That's the patriarchy passed on. But he invests everything in here in her. He tells only her his secrets. He tells her how he feels about the people at work. He tells her how he really feels about his mother and father, but he won't tell his siblings. He tells her. Now she wants to leave. And what they will do to keep that woman, to killing her, literally killing her, because it's like, you belong to me. And because they lose a part of themselves that they can't retrieve on their own.
Interesting. Wow.
And I'm like, wow. And I would see the emotional strings, the attachments. And I'm like, okay. You understand she's another person. She's not you. But they don't see that. That is me. And if a man takes
Interesting.
her, you're taking part of me away.
Pardon me. And if she wants to leave, she's taking.
We're not just romantic partners. It's not two healthy adults that came together to be in love. It's two dependents, you know, people that are dependent. Another thing that I've discovered, which I think is very sad, I started to ask my mother's generation, how many women married men that they were never in love with?
Ever.
And what the trap and that feeling stuck, and was my grandmother was not in love with my grandfather the way he was in love with her. But she stayed because her sister ditched the other Asian husband and her two daughters. Because she got pregnant with another man. So it's like you said, my grandmother's sister, two above her, my grandmother, same situation. They married Asians, which was my mother's grandmother's older sister was disowned for marrying an
Yeah, I
Asian.
was going to say that must have been very difficult at that time. especially in the States. Like up here, yeah, but in the States, I would think a little bit.
My grandmother says, "Oh no, there was no racism." My grandmother's, we're driving to the airport. My grandfather tells me I wasn't allowed in the house. Nana said there was no racism.
No, because she doesn't see it as racism. That's just how it
Right.
is.
That's how
That's
it
the way
is,
we
right?
think.
I needed to ask him, not her, because she was on the side. And yet, Portuguese in Hawaii aren't considered white because they didn't have all the white privileges. They came to work in the fields. The white people owned the fields, the plantations. So, anyway, God, we're getting off on all kinds of little. We're going, poor Lynn.
Poor Lynn, trying to keep track. It's like this constant updating and revisiting all my important papers and directions. And Daniel saying, are you okay with not knowing your death day? Because I can't fully proof my words for my bench because of it. And so I was going to put this stuff in the mail last week, but I just want to make sure that it's as updated as it can be. And it's a big deal, to get these things organized and write a little note and just all these details. But anyway, I was on my way down to the parking garage and ran into my neighbor. Well, I didn't run into her, but I saw her and some of her family. And I said, yeah, I'm just on my way to mail this stuff off, my updated arrangements to my people. And she said, oh, are you dying? I mean, this is such a popular question, right?
It really
And so again, I said, well, yeah, aren't you?
That's
My favorite line.
She's older than me and has a few more aches and pains, I guess, but she, quietly said so that her family didn't immediately hear. She sort of quietly said, well, actually, I did just talk to one of my sons about where I want everybody buried, and we are going to go to a lawyer next week. It's amazing how many people think about it but don't talk about it. And yeah, like Bob, you're raising your hand. And it's like when I was younger, yeah, I thought, oh, I don't have much and whatever, but I see it as it's really, and Daniel's saying he doesn't care, it'll all be gone. But the thing is that somebody has to wrap up those details. And I want to make it as easy as possible. I want to make it like that I would be delighted to be the person to wrap those up because, wow, she was so organized. So it's something I think about every day. I'm doing something to advance it every day because I'm just so grateful to be still alive to be able to do that,
You're inspiring me. I should be doing this. I
Every
have
day.
three kids that I should get this all ready for. What if I got hit by a bus? They'd be dumbfounded. They wouldn't know what to do with
Where to
anything.
start?
So,
I know where to start. And so I think I'm way ahead of the game the more I look at it and talk to other people.
yeah, because I want a party. If they
Oh,
have
party.
some sort of sad funeral, people coming in and it all, woo, but you wear black. That's my thing. I think everyone should wear black to any sort of funeral. It's indifference to the fact that they're dead, but I want a party. I'm here for a good time, not a long time playing and things like that. I want them to hear music and go, oh my God, that's
Yeah.
it. And then I'll laugh, laugh, laugh. Should
Yeah.
do that.
Yeah. I really don't care.
You don't care what
I
happens
mean, I
after?
would love to give my stuff away to people who want it. The best case scenario for me is I'm dying and what do you want? It's like, can I have this and can I have that? Can I have whatever? Because it's just stuff. Now, my mother's stuff, I want to go to my niece. A nephew, because there's a dining table that's like a family heirloom. Everyone in our family has sat on that table. It was in my mother's house. Our grandparents every night ate on that table, and all of her husband's family ate on that table. All of our family ate on that table, and I have it. So I thought, okay, they should have it. And it's a Hawaiian wood koa. Take her rocker, take her things if you want it. Yeah, I don't care. I'm like,
I would say you're downplaying your importance. I'll bet you anything, there are people in your world who would love to have a little bit of you after you
yeah, and
cross
that's what I'm
over,
saying.
just like the
Both.
table.
Hold on, you guys. You both said important things at the same time.
Okay.
Bobby, you said you're actually giving me a good idea. And
He's
Daniel?
given me a great idea, actually. Yeah, and I
Okay.
don't even know if it's just your idea, to be honest, or if it's about you, because that's what happens to me. But I saw all these little envelopes that were addressed to people, and the thing that needs to go in the envelope, and when you cross over, that is going to be mailed out to that person. They're just going to get it in the mail. Maybe they won't even know that you're dead. And this was willed to you, and this was given to you by Daniel. That's what I'm
Yeah.
seeing. I want to do something like that. I think that's super awesome.
Yeah.
Because there are things that mean something to you, that like this necklace I'm wearing means a lot to me. This
And
one,
who gave
actually,
that?
my aunt, and this one my
Oh,
children gave to me,
yeah.
even though I am not Jewish, because
Yeah.
it is the Star of David. Still, I think it's gorgeous and I love stars. So this I could send to like a niece or a nephew and say, this meant so much to me. And then they could wear it and go, oh, this meant something to her. It means something to me. It's a little piece of her for me. I think there are people out there who want a piece of you.
Oh, you can have whatever you want. Anybody could take it. But
Okay.
you know, I'm done. You
Yeah.
need to know your purpose. Why are you on this planet? To get in touch with why you're on this earth. If you can do that, the rest will follow. But why are you sitting, standing on this planet? Why are you here? I didn't know that I would become a teacher to these inmates. And that was the deepest, most fulfilling thing I've done so far. And it wasn't something I created. I created it by becoming a teacher because I think people miss their calling when they say, create this. What do you want? It needs to look like this, sound like this. I'm like, stop it. Stop all of that. Tell me about what it is. If you want a partner, why do you want a partner? I want love. I want to feel in love. I want intimacy. I want whatever, all whatever you need. And just focus on that, the qualities. Don't say it needs to be this tall and look like this. And because every other person that doesn't look like that, you're eliminating. You understand?
Yeah, it's what's inside.
You say what you want, and that's energy, and that energy attracts energy. So anyway, here we are, Lynn. It's
We're in three time zones.
We're in three time zones.
Thank you both very much for making the Art of Departure 6 a reality today on December 6th, 2023. Happy birthday, Grandpa.
Birthday, Grandpa.
Happy birthday, Grandpa. And I want to hear about the hole in your head. I
Hole in
like
my head.
that. That's the to be continued part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to tell you about the hole in my head. Yes,
Cool.
or several holes in my head. Yeah, the Swiss cheese that is my skull.
There's great topics. Write them down, Lynn. Committing suicide. I think that's a great topic to explore. And I love the couple. Her aunt and uncle wanted to die together. We have these ideas of what's right and wrong.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to, like you just said, Daniel, like, why are we here? And the whole thing that death is the worst thing that can happen.
At least you live. That's what people always say. At least they lived. Well, maybe that's not better.
Yeah.
Maybe
Oh,
dying
not
actually would have been
better.
better, much better.
Thank you,
It was
dear.
great to see you both. Thank you
We'll
so
see you
much.
again.
And see you
Okay.
again.
Bye,
Okay.
kids.
Thank you.